We're here. We're still in World War III. Still under siege. So, guys, you know, we took a couple weeks off of our CGM lounge. Just so many things are going on, not only globally, but specifically here in the U.S. and in Philadelphia. We've had a lot of people like reach out to us, just like looking for guidance, looking for ways to try to navigate or swim this flood of just like news and pandemonium. So tonight we have again our honored guest, our time honored guest, Steve Goldfland. He's our tax preparer, one of the best in the business. And you know, like always, Steve, give him, I don't want to take away your shine. You can give him the introduction that you deserve.
So. Well, thank you. Thank you. And the theme I created this month is the healthiest taxpayer is the wealthiest taxpayer.
Woo!
That seems to be the theme of the day. And it was a beautiful moment when I probably shared it with Miss Myra first. You know, it was like he had called me one day and I shared. I said, this is what we're up to right now. It's like we could sit and barely think about taxes, but it's really our health and our well-being. And, you know, wherever direction you want to follow, I think right now we're all pausing and following our kind of our inner guidance. If we just take enough time to pause, that's what I've noticed. You know, in the last, let's see, we started May, right? So we're into day four of May.
Yeah.
And our team kind of regrouped on Friday, you know, to complete April. And we probably worked with we figured it was about 700 people, you know, between January, you know, 15th and the end of April. Sure. And, you know, we just, you know, just helping people, nothing, you know, outrageous, just helping people. But overall, the last, that moment when the governor said, hey, it's time to kind of shut everything down, somewhere in March there.
Yeah, that, March 16th.
That was like the stopping point. At that point, people just put taxes on the back burner until the stimulus check.
Right.
Well,
until the government said, hey, you got to do your taxes to get your stimulus checks. Hey, in order to get this PPP, you had to have your taxes done. Hey. So that's what we ran into the same thing. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry.
No, it's just like what I noticed is it's time. You know, I ask all the clients that call. I said, well, what have you learned? You know, what's the lesson? Just give me like one lesson in this whole, you know, your own experience, and you get so many different examples. But we've gotten a chance to pause. And in that pause, like, it's like there's no place to rush to. There's no taxes that have to be filed. I mean, it's important, but it's like when you pause, everybody's kind of getting their house in order. They could be cleaning, but they could also be getting their own, you know, their own house, their business house in order, their own, you know, their own estate, their own individual finances in order. And you've touched on it. I've watched you. I mean, you really cover it on your Instagram there.
Yeah. I appreciate that, man. It's funny because we're getting a lot of calls here from people like all over the country. And, you know, they'd be like, man, I just watched these videos that you guys put out. And you know, I just want to say thank you. And you know, so us, we never really looked at it as like we're doing anything special or outrageous. It's just, hey, these are FAQs that people have kind of brought to our attention. So instead of just sending out a newsletter or something, you know, we'll make it a video and put it up. But yeah, it's been eerie to kind of see what's happened since March 16th. And we started doing the economic, how to survive an economic meltdown.
Yeah.
Series. And I think there's like a tale of two tapes. Like there's people that are like doing it and they're having their businesses actually performing better now than they were before the stuff. And then there's people that are like, you know, kind of like, damn, like I don't know what to do. And so they've gotten a couple lifelines from the government, but they're kind of just still sitting in kind of purgatory about to be aggressive or not, to do things or not. So, I mean, of course, there's a big pool of people, big pool of businesses that have been closed because of it and can't open until there's clearance. But if they can open, you know, for example, I think Shake Shack, they got a huge stimulus package, but they haven't given it back because they furloughed, you know, so many people. And, you know, PPP is determined by the amount of employees that you kept. So there's a lot of stuff going on that the government tried to get right. It kind of went left. And they had to they had to double back into the bag to give out more money. So, I mean, you've compared this to like being admitted into the emergency room, the ICU. So just to give people like a recap, you know, we're 6 weeks in from like a national kind of just halt, like March 16th, and it was really, you know, defibrillator status, like. Flatline, how do you resuscitate this thing? And so now there's a faint heartbeat. I think we're still in ICU, as you pointed out. So now that we've got a pulse, but maybe not out of our coma, what are some things that you've seen that people can be anticipating around the next, you know, 4 to 6 weeks?
Well, just a plug for me is everything's built around the CPA game.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like, I'm not a CPA. I just like to come up with words around CPA. And right now, you know, we got to pause, right?
Yeah.
So once we pause, we got to go back to planning and preparation. Because if you're not open, why not just plan and prepare to be open with the most like active, aggressive, assertive, you know, game you could play once you get to that stage.
Mm-hmm.
But right now you're like, oh, hey, I'm sitting here with Dr. Dom, you know, and he's taking my pulse, you know, he's taking my blood pressure, you know, he's taking my temperature, and he's going, just chill, Steve, you know, like stay inside. You can't go anywhere. You're in quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got the governor's orders or whatever. So while you're there, Steve's kind of like recapping, all right, is there something I can do to adapt? Is there something I can do to adjust? Is there something I can do to be ready once the doors are opening? And, you know, most of the people that we saw and our team, we must keep like maybe 50 or 60 clients, like keep their records.
Sure.
And you could tell, you know, some were like right on point, you know, 100% ready in order. And others, it was like playing catch up. And I think, you know, overall, it's part our responsibility, part, you know, the owner's responsibility. But the simple lesson is don't go so fast that you don't take time on a regular basis, at least monthly, to just kind of pause things in order. I think that's one place that we've gotten to right now, is there's no place to rush to. So just pause, slow down a moment.
Yeah.
And then when you're ready to go, go full steam ahead.
Yeah, and I think right on target with that has been a recognition from small micro business owners of how important it is to understand that the tax code and tax law and taxes themselves aren't like the evil empire necessarily. Mm-hmm. They're really, it's really just a language that's been written that's continuously changing that allows you to communicate to the government like your current status. Mm-hmm. And we haven't been educated that way, you know, growing up, everybody's like, taxes are like the, there's, what is it? What was the death and taxes are the two like certainties in life, right? And so we look at it like that is like, this is the Grim Reaper coming around the corner. But when you look at the businesses that have been able to survive, thrive, make free money, basically, those are the businesses that, like you said, were prepared. Like, they've done their 1120s, their 1120s, their Schedule Cs, their Schedule Ks, also known as 1065s. They've been doing those every year. They've been filing their personal taxes every year. They've had a clean record that they could easily just upload into their bank that was given the PPP loan. They had payroll, you know, already established. So those things that people were like, may have taken for granted, what actually came back to be like how, you know, I know some businesses, you know, made $100,000 in April.
Yep.
While getting PPP,
yep.
While getting, you know, EIDL grants, while getting PIDC grant. So they were still in business. Then they got extra money thrown on top that the government was giving to anybody that qualified. And this is one of those times, this kind of just reminds me, I wasn't around, of course, but this reminds me of like the tales of like Prohibition, the Great Depression, when you hear like, well, this is how like the Rockefeller family became into power. This is how the Kennedy family came into power. Like, they took advantage of times where the country was in such a groundswell of such dire straits. They were able to create some foundation. Because in these time frames, you know, Disney was created in a low economic point in the United States. So in these time frames, you're going to find businesses that really get solid footing and kind of explode. And, you know, of course, like the rest of us are looking at it, like, how do we survive and maintain? But in any catastrophe, in any situation, you mentioned the two words, planning and preparing, are the two anecdotes to crisis, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
If you plan and you're prepared, when the crisis comes, you don't have to be so worried. Of course, there's always like antennas up, but you can survive those things. So, we've gotten calls across the country like, hey, how do I get this? And, you know, I think we talked about it too last time. There's somebody that called and they're like, yeah, this company's going to charge me $1,000 to do my SBA application to get a loan for the EIDL and or for the PPP. And I'm like, well, I wouldn't pay that. Like, there's no guarantee you're going to get it, number one. And number two, you might only get $5,000. So,
yep.
And then you got to pay them 10% of what you get. So it's... this has just been interesting to see like how many people have tried to take advantage of, as you so eloquently pointed out, the emergency that we're in health-wise, figuratively and literally, and then, you know, where we are now. So as a business and as a person that looks at people's taxes and like understands the language of business, what are some expectations for the third quarter that you have, like this macro? I mean, it doesn't have to be specific to anybody's business, but like, what are you expecting as a business owner to happen July 1 going forward?
It's a great question. It's one that I didn't really think about until you asked me this moment. What I have been thinking about is just, if you look at going the second quarter, we don't know if anything's actually going to get opened or just slowly open by, you know, June 30th, right? So then we're going to have this summertime, which is usually like playtime, vacation time, whatever, maybe not business-wise, but family-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've already been on vacation, even if we didn't like it. So like that third quarter is that point where we're just going like, I'm all in. You know, the ones that are ready, they're just all in to kind of, I'm going to say capitalize, but put their best effort forward. And I don't know if it could be the same you know, there's got to be some adjustment there. But overall, there's just so many people out of work. And then you've got so many people working that are working virtually. Okay.
Right.
And then you've got this, like, no commerce, or maybe the only commerce that you're seeing is like in the, you know, what do you call it? The healthcare world. And then obviously the food industry, whether it's takeout or groceries or whatever, you know, but those three factors, you just got all these people that are just, hopefully they're collecting their unemployment. You know, they deserve it. It's there. They're ones that are working virtually. So they're not moving around. They're not going out. And then with that, there's no money being moved around because there's no businesses open. So as they slowly open, it may take all the way, and I don't pretend to be an economist in any fashion, but may take all the way until like maybe the first or second quarter of next year, where we start to see like, oh, we've overcome the fear of just
being outside.
Yeah, like it's weird. I walk to work. It's only two blocks, you know, but it's just yesterday was nice to see people outside, you know, families just sitting in their porch, you know, and just sitting outside. Like, but it's like uneasy. And I think we have to get over that fear of just being near each other. Like where there's something that's going to contaminate us. And that fear is going to, you know, the ones that are fearful are going to stay shut in. The ones that are prepared and plan ahead and go after something because they've created a new plan. Maybe it's more of a virtual plan. You know, then they're going to go all in, and that it may take third, fourth quarter. This would be a great time. I don't care who you are. This is a great time to plan for the holidays. I don't care what happens. People still like to buy things in the holidays. And, you know, here you got this perfect opportunity to plan your campaign for the holidays. You may be home and devise your own new toy, you already have a product, you already have a service, you already got something. We did this thing today where we're with this doctor, and fascinating man. I mean, this guy is just a brilliant, brilliant MD. And every few weeks we get together, and today he brings together his research on the vitamin D, you know, and obviously with the issues around health. So it was like, oh, I put this product together just to manage people's vitamin D. And if you look back, you know, the third quarter, sunshine gets less. People are more sick, whether they had the coronavirus or not. And he just used his ingenuity to put a product, label it up, and have it all ready to go today. It was like, wow, you know, in less than like a month. And he's not somebody that's out there marketing products. He just took the time to be creative, look what the need was, and provide a solution. And in his belief, he feels he has the best product that's out there. There's nothing in there but what you need. There's no other, nothing. You know, and that's the creative energy that we can all use right now.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, and you know, just to be clear, like what you mentioned, I mean, it's, I think we have a responsibility to communicate to people just as objectively as possible. So now there's a report that we're inching past 16% unemployment, like 30 million people filed for unemployment as of like last week. And these are like numbers that you saw in the Great Depression. It hasn't been that high in the country since the Great Depression, which was 100 years ago. And like you mentioned, reopening doesn't mean, hey, voila, the stuff is like back clicking. No, if your business was closed for 6 weeks, 8 weeks, in some cases, probably New York City, they probably won't open New York City again until August 1st. I mean, I can't even imagine them doing it safely before then. And even August 1st might be a stretch, but like if you have a restaurant in New York or a hotel in New York or whatever the case may be, it's not like, and you were closed for that amount of time. It's not like you opened the doors back up. No, you had rent that you didn't pay.
Yeah.
You had loans that you didn't pay. Like, gosh, if you owned the building, you know, you had a mortgage that you hadn't paid. And so a friend of mine works for the Commerce Department in New York, and she was like, I'm trying to figure out a way to get these people the money. And I told her, I was like, if they need the money, it's not going to help.
Yeah.
And she was like, what do you mean? I'm like, if they're waiting for you to get them money, it's already over. You know what I mean? Like, the business is already done. Because at the end of the day, you're not going to be able to give them the amount of money that they need to pay back the back debt, to pay the employees, to buy the food that was spoiled, reopen, and go like nothing happened. Mm. Like, it's, you know, they're five laps behind on a 400 meter race. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's already over. And the companies that got the money, that didn't need the money, they're already done the race. Mm. Like, they figured out a way to make money during this time frame. And it's one of those things, like, PTSD is going to be a real thing. Mm. Like you mentioned, what's a crowded restaurant going to look like in August or July? You know, and
it won't. It won't exist.
It won't exist. Like, a crowded restaurant is going to be five people. So now you're messing with the margins. Like, okay, even if I'm open as a restaurant, I'm still probably going to take precautions and say, like, we can only seat, you know, a third of the people that we can normally seat at our prime hours. I just saw an ad. I've been seeing ads over the last 2 weeks from this, like, company that does fully stocked apartments around the country. And the Philadelphia ad, they shaved the rent from $3,000 to $1,100. Like, 66% savings.
Wow.
66% off on the rent. Like, are you kidding me? 66%. And there's no margin. They're losing money. If some actuary or some accountant told them, like, for us to pay the construction loan, to pay admin, to pay me, the accountant, to pay you, the company, to pay the employees, to pay the owners, to pay back the investors that dumped $1 billion into the company, we gotta sell these units at three grand. They cut it by two-thirds just to try to move a unit. In the macro.
Yeah, when you look at that, I mean, look, go back. You know, we've had 2008, you know, just the adjustment that's taken place in 12 years, you know, whatever. Like, okay, you know, it took a while. And you know, there was definitely another infusion of money. And it just took to start building back some level of confidence. And here we're just, I mean, fear is super, super strong. And, you know, I don't say I have, it's still comes back to the individual. How well that you dealt with your own, you know, your own ability to adapt through a crisis. So you touched on it. There's going to be a lot of opportunity out there. And if it's the apartment complex or the housing market or buildings that just are not working anymore because the business went out. And just think of the virtual world. It's like people are just home and they can do whatever they want from home.
Right.
I usually see most of the clients face to face, you know, but obviously in the last 30 days that didn't happen. So they were willing, you know, they were willing to adjust, but it only happened because of this pandemic. And now schools, it's like, oh, let's go back to homeschooling, you know?
Right.
Do we really need to buy that house? Do we even have the ability to get a mortgage? There's many unknowns, but we all get to create a path. Every one of us has a chance to create a path. We're all starting at the same level again. We're all here, and nobody has an advantage over anybody else. Yes, there's people that have pools of money, you know, but that isn't the decisive factor. It's really going to be your own, you know, your own energy, your own belief and determination, and you can make it happen. It may not be easy, but I saw that famous marketing guy, that Gary Vee, say something like, it's going to be in vogue. Hard work is going to be in vogue, you know, for the rest of the year. So go be ready for hard work.
Hard work, you know. Yeah. And
it don't have to be painful. You know, it really doesn't.
No.
We're all starting at the same. We're at the same starting line here. Every one of us.
Exactly. And that's why we tried to communicate in March that this was the great equalizer, to your point. And if you had an entrepreneurial bone in your body, then you relish the moment, like relish the opportunity to say, like, hey, the field is wide open right now for me to try to create something, or if you already created it, for me to execute and be aggressive. Because the one thing about human nature is that people need comfort. And the most comfortable thing for most people, especially if they're idle, is to buy things that they like. So it's gonna be food, it's gonna be like renting movies, and we can't go outside. So now it's like, I'm on Amazon just ordering stuff. I'm on this thing just ordering stuff. Because it distracts them. There's no sports on. Like, I was talking to somebody today, the first client I had today, he was like, how long do you think this will last? And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, how long do you think, you know, we'll be on lockdown? And I was like, well, it'll vary by city, but put it this way, I mean, there probably won't be an NFL season. There's not going to be an MLB season. We're in the middle of the MLB season right now. The NBA might not even come back by the end of the year. I mean, how could you feasibly see going to an arena with 20,000 people, or going to like the Lincoln Financial with 65,000 people? Even with it being outside.
Yep.
How can that happen in just a couple of months? Like, preseason would start in July. And so, you know, there's a whole economy right then and there of, okay, or maybe we do it without fans in the stands. Are you kidding me? 65,000 people, 65,000 empty seats. No concessions, no apparel purchases, no ticket purchases. I mean, even if the ticket was like, the average ticket was $50, that's like $3 million a game just off ticket sales. Like, why would they pay the players? The only way to pay the players would be to make it pay-per-view, you know, or have astronomical TV ad budgets. And so, normalcy, we probably won't see it. Like, Disney said they might not open until 2021. Like, probably for sure. And so we're talking about multi-billion dollar industries.
Shut
down. So if you're an entrepreneur, this is unprecedented. Like, this hasn't happened in a century in the U.S.
Never.
Like, you have to go outside today or tomorrow or yesterday with the thought that, you know, I can make something that somebody absolutely needs that they cannot get right now. And I can change the trajectory of, like, what I'm doing with my time. Because most of us have nothing but time at this point. Like,
and you don't have to do it by yourself. You're sitting there with your family. You might have think, you know, you're just family. All talking about stuff, and you just see the most ingenious, like, creative ideas And you just be willing to just, this is what's needed today, you know?
This is what's needed.
You know, it's not about...
It's been an amazing ride.
Just go for it. Go make it happen. In isolation, but with family, or in isolation with your friends, you still can connect. One of the things sure. I was sharing is years and years ago, it's been one of my heroes way back when. This gentleman had said, you know, one of the greatest of human needs is the need to be connected. And right now,
come on,
you know, it's kind of blocked. But yet, do we actually need another person? No, maybe we just need to be with our significant other or our children or our friend or whoever. But those that are in isolation, oh my, it's got to be lonely. It really has to be lonely right now. So here's your chance.
Well, here's the thing.
And, you know, you might not be next to each other in the same room, but, you know,
right.
Call, watch each other on your smartphone. If you don't have a smartphone, just a regular phone, but connect with people and create a solution to get us to, solve a problem that just showed up in the last 30 days, the last 6 months, and may last for another, 6 months or year.
Yeah, especially with premature openings. I mean, some of these Republican states are open. I'm not making it political. I'm just stating the obvious. Like, some of the Republican states are opening up, and, you know, I just read something like the death toll could reach, 230,000 by July. If we rush. That's why I asked you that third quarter question, because the negotiation right now is like, does the U.S. government chalk the whole second quarter of 2020? Like, it would have been open for 15 days.
Yep.
Right? And the realization is that, is there an economy if New York is closed? Like, if New York isn't open, is there an economy? Like, I don't care if Portland is open. I care about Portland. I'm just saying, like, in the macro, Portland being open, Wichita, Kansas being open, and Des Moines, Iowa being open, is that significant to the economy being back open? Probably no. And so the real barometer is like, okay, when does New York open up? When does that hub of global finance and trade open up? And New York might be PTSD for the next 24 months, man. Like, who knows what guy's just been chilling in his house or subterranean, subway dweller that just pops up that didn't have any symptoms. Boom. And just like, causes this whole thing to happen again. Go shoot up again. So that's what Cuomo's having to deal with. That's what New York is having to negotiate with. That's what other large cities are trying to negotiate with, is like, do we... And I was out this weekend, and it was beautiful, and everybody seemed to be out on dirt bike, barbecuing. And it was like you said, on one hand, it was kind of respite from, the gloomy April that we had, being shut in. But on the other hand, it's like, did we just extend this thing for another for another 4 weeks? So it's going to be interesting, because it's like an invisible threat. Yeah. Like, you don't know how many or where or when. And all you can do is, you mentioned it, plan and prepare. Like, we can't stress it enough, guys. If this thing, undoubtedly the economy is going to be shot for the rest of 2020. Like, undoubtedly so, but in the main. Too many businesses have been closed for too long. Too many people are out of work, and they won't be able to just jump back into work because there won't be anybody to necessarily hire them. So from now until December 31st, what is it? What trajectory are we on? Are we on, like, I got to create something so we can bring back microeconomics? Like, I sell this, you sell that, let's sell it to each other so we both can make money. So then we can go buy something else from this next guy. Like, that's just going to churn. That's just how it has to happen. And a lot of communities, African-American communities, Latino communities, Asian communities, any community can bolster itself because, hey, Steve, I know Steve does this and I do this. That in an exchange of goods and services, not to barter, no, but to actually commence in commerce, is what's going to bring back that vitality, like you said, that connectivity. And I think people aren't scared anymore, but I think they're restless, which is probably even more frightening than actually be like,
sure,
worried. To be restless is going to cause like irrational decisions.
I always like this this example of it was my own metaphor of being a slob. You know, like the you could support the local owned businesses. You know, so in your setting, the microeconomics here, it's like, okay, all right, what can you do truly locally? You know, I feel like we've expanded to the point that we're one global economy. But right now, you know, let's go back to what you just shared. You know, what can we exchange with one another? You've been kind enough. Many people have called. I just answered their questions, helped them out. Someone said, oh, you know, Dom said, give Steve a call. You know, and I would just help them out, you know, whether they paid, didn't pay, but it was like, right, you were kind enough to say this, where somebody goes, oh, they need a, you know, the new company, like an LLC or a new logo or something. Oh, go call Dom. He'll take care of it for you. But the point is, even at the more local level, right on the same street, you know, right in the same area, you know, the people that you connect with right around the neighborhood, you know, just help them out. Find ways, like
help them out.
Find ways to provide support to those small local owned businesses. Because you said it in the very beginning, Dom. You go, oh, they're going to give out all these handouts to the SBA, to all these small businesses. But nobody thought that what a real small business is. It's not your corner grocer. You know,
right,
it's that 10 million or 50 million or 100 million Shake Shack. It's not, you know, and they're great businesses.
Yeah.
But the real ones are us. You know, you and I wake up every day and
right,
we go out and we say, hey, who can we help today? And those are the people you can go out and help.
Right.
One person. You know, I think you did it. You sent me this one young lady, right? And it was like the greatest thing. She just sells takeout food. You know, she makes it herself. And it was like, that, and by the end of the week,
yeah,
I ordered some from her. We all had a nice dinner together, and she just drives up in her car, you know, delivers it. And it's like, I mean, there's a lot that could be done to upgrade what she does, but she already has a great system and she can make it happen without very little overhead.
And that's the key. The key is you guys can make it happen without overhead. That's the advantage that we have compared to huge businesses. Huge business, the Titanic, they can't turn. They can't adjust. They're not agile. So we're, you know, I remember PIDC, this is Philadelphia's, like a nonprofit in Philadelphia that helps commercially. Their thing was like, yo, we can get a $5,000 grant to companies that make up to $500,000 a year for this COVID thing. And I was like, yeah, 1%? 1% of their grocery receipt? Five grand? And that's a bad day for them. Like, if you made $500,000, you made $500,000 in a year, your overhead is probably through the roof. Because you got someone, you got staff that you got to pay, you got an office space, you got rent, and so the measurement of what small businesses and what small businesses need, it's just so skewed in the U.S. And it's like, yo, that $5,000 that could be given to somebody that made $500,000 or $10,000 that year. I think the minimum was 25. I'm sorry. So between 25,000 and 500,000, you were eligible for the same $5,000. And it was like that company that made $5,000 not going to do anything for them.
Nope.
It's not going to do.
Nope.
What is that going to do? You know, that person that made $25,000, that $5,000 means so much more. But because the application won't be as strong, they might not get it. And that was that's the dichotomy that we have here in the U.S. is like, yeah, they want to assist with the companies that are going to employ. But a vast majority of the companies in Philadelphia, 66,000 of them to be exact, don't have employees out of the 88,000. So, you know, it's like, who do we save? Do we save the Shake Shacks, or do we save the girl that's delivering, you know, wings that she makes, you know, all by herself? But she needs that $5,000 to pay her rent, so that she's not, you know, kicked out of the apartment. So it's a, like you mentioned, that community economics will get us there. Guys, being aggressive with your plans and executing will get us there. Do you have any closing remarks for our people, for our
just
audience?
Just do it. Do a basic. It's like the three B's. You know, nobody really likes a budget, but you might just go on your computer and do like a simple, what does it take to break even with your company? And inside a budget, you might want to see if there's some items you can, you know, cut costs just to, you know, that's a standard thing. But then there's like some benchmark, something that you see with your business model, with your business, your product, your service, something that you want to go after and go create it. Like really, like there's no limit. There's just opportunity that's out there. Yep, there's roadblocks. You know, ooh, I ran into them trying to get people's files, get them their files back, get them their taxes done smoothly and efficiently. I've run into many, many headaches. And, you know, but you find a way through it. I don't do it alone. I definitely recommend a team. But if you are all by yourself, just don't hesitate to ask for help. But stay with that creative element, that planning element, and then kind of aggressive or assertive element, and you'll do fine. You know, you'll find opportunities, and just stay the path on one simple thing. Don't try to do everything. Just really basic. If you're going to get out of that intensive care, it's going to take, you've been in the hospital now for like, what's it been, like 45 days.
40,
you know, you come home from the 40, hospital after 45 right. days. It's not like you're going to go out and run a, you know, a 5K or something like that. You're just going to edge into it. But you can, you know, make progress and track it. You know, really track it. Track the progress that you're making. And if it doesn't seem like it's working, then you might have to keep adjusting. So you need help, just call Dom. He'll help you.
<He'll> keep... No, man, appreciate it. No, you guys, I mean, Steve said it though, just measure, cut, adjust, measure, cut, adjust, execute. We're not trying to sound bearers of bad news, but we want to definitely make sure that the reality is clear. Like, the opportunity is there for you guys to go out and do what you need to do, do what you want to do. And you're never going to see I can't say that. In our lifetime, the economy probably won't be this wide open. It could happen again, but in our lifetime, we may not see an economy this vulnerable and this open for new businesses to come and just take over. So it's your time. This is Common Ground Management, CGM Lounge. You can follow us at CGM Philly on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. You can also go to our website, cgmphilly.com. Once again, we've had the pleasure of talking with Steve Goldflam. Steve, how can they find you and contact you?
Well, thank you, Don. Thank you very much. You can find me on like Instagram, Twitter. My website is CPA Game, like Charlie Paul Apple Game, CPA Game. Call me, 267-784-5040. That's my cell. Or the office is 215-695-0108. We're there for you. Anytime I could help, you know, just anytime, I'll always give you 5 or 10 minutes and just help answer questions. Thank you, Don.
No, thank you. And guys, he's the best, like super modest, very experienced. And I love that. I've always loved that name, CPA Gang. So check him out. People always ask me, like, what do you guys do? What is it? How this is it. This is the guy. You know what I mean? This is our guy. So, I mean, we lean on him a lot for advice. So you guys have the same pool of wisdom. Appreciate it. You guys stay safe and healthy and cautious. And we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you, John.